to the Relentless CEO Podcast. With Adam Kiefer. Follow your path to success alongside icons and industry leaders in martial arts, fitness, and more. Let's go. This is the Relentless CEO Podcast.
Hey, fellow CEOs, welcome to another episode of the Relentless CEO Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Kiefer. We're busting out the whiteboard today, so you know it's going to be a good episode. This entire episode is about systemizing retention. Okay, how do we systemize the ways that we keep students and athletes training for longer? So we're going to jump into this. I want to start this off with one of my favorite service-based quotes because service ties directly into how happy your clients are and how long they're going to stay as a client. So this is from the CEO of Zappos. He said, customer service should not be a department. It should be the entire company. So let's think about this one more time. Customer service should not be a department. It should be the entire company. What is this saying? If your front desk person is the only person that delivers exceptional customer service, you have a customer service person. You do not have a company that excels at customer service. So what I'm recommending is service shouldn't only be trained in them. It should be trained with your coaches. It should be trained with your managers. Really anyone that touches the business from an employment aspect needs to be trained on delivering above and beyond customer service. And we're going to jump into this a little bit more. But this is the base for retention. No strategy, no tactic out there is going to fix terrible customer service. And while we're on this, no tactic or strategy is going to fix terrible quality classes. And there's a thing in our industry where everyone always is going to go right away to say, you know what, I know my classes aren't the problem, but I'm having retention issues. It's like two opposite things that are fighting against each other there. Like, I know I have awesome classes, but I also know I have retention issues. Well, could it be that your classes aren't as awesome as you think they are, and that's what's causing the retention issues? Something to think about. Like, I get it. No one wants to admit that their own baby is ugly. And I know that your martial arts program is your baby. Okay, but sometimes we got to go out on the mat and look that baby in the face and be like, this is not where it should be. It should be better than this. It should be a more dynamic, more energetic class than this. That's what we should be talking about. So starting with that, we're just going to assume your curriculum and your classes are okay, even though they may not be, just for the purpose of this podcast episode. But systemizing retention starts with service. Okay, when we think about service, we're going to put a few metrics in here of things to look at within your facility that is going to help determine if you are going above and beyond with customer service. Okay, first is going to be response time. This is response time to leads, response time to inquiries via email, response time to calling people back that left you a voicemail before the school opened. How quickly are you actually getting back to everyone? Okay, so we're going to say speed. Okay, and then along with this, if you don't get a hold of them or if you don't get a response from them, are you being proactive about following up? Okay, are you continuing to reach out to them until you get it, or are you just leaving that email in your inbox forever because they never responded back? Okay, when we talk about service, the other part of service is going to be communication. And I'm going to say proactive communication. Okay, well, what is proactive communication? Is do your students and parents know everything there is to know about your school in advance? Or do they always have to come up to you and ask for information? Easy thing. So a couple of things that we've done with this to help with this is we have a new member strategy guide that we provide every parent that walks through the door. We also took the strategy guide and we turned it into a new student orientation meeting. And essentially what happens is this strategy guide contains everything that they need to know about MOVE Martial Arts. Okay, so it has what we look for instructors, how we train our instructors. It has in there a letter from the CEO explaining my purpose and my why behind starting and launching Move Martial Arts and the impact that I wanted to create. It has in there all of our rules for what to wear to class. It has the belt journey on there. It has descriptions of every single class that we offer so parents can easily look at it and be like, oh, that's what a year two class is. Oh, that's what the Move Legends class is. It also previews our upgrade program as well to get people excited about that right away on day one. And it goes through all of this information. I'm sure I missed some of it, but it goes through all this information and it's in a really well-designed document that our graphic designer created. It's got fun pictures. It's fun to look through and it's not like text every page. I had a school owner show me his new member welcome pack that he put together, and I could tell he put so much time and effort into this. Like, I love it. But it was just a Word document that he printed and handed to people. So they get this stapled thing of like 36 pages of full text. No one's going to take the time to read that. That's the problem. Okay. His effort was in the right place. His mindset of wanting to inform people was in the right place. Just the execution needed a little tweaking so that way people would actually pay attention to it more. So we cut it down. We made it more condensed so it was easier to understand. And then we encourage him to make sure that he's putting fun graphics on there and making it a book that someone looks at and like, I want to read this. I want to open this up and I want to learn more about this. So proactive communication. We have our strategy guide. We have our new member orientation. The other thing is the platforms that we're communicating on to be proactive. So here's what I mean. Let's use this scenario, for example. So I went to do a school visit, a martial arts school, and I'm walking around and I'm talking to the owner and I'm just like, hey, tell me a little bit about your referral program that you have here. Like, what are you doing to get referrals? Are you getting referrals? So he's talking me through and it's pretty similar. Like, hey, $50 if they refer someone that enrolls, we just pay them cash. We do it from the class. Cool. All right. How many of your team members know about the referral program? And he's like, well, all of them. They all know about the referral program. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm sitting in the staff meeting with them. And I interrupt him like, hey, just quick question for everyone. Raise your hand if you know what the company's referral program is for referring their friends to be a member. And then like two people out of the team of five raise their hand. So all right, great. Can you guys tell me what the referral program is? First person answers and like, isn't it where we like give them like cash when they refer people? Like if they have someone that comes in, does a trial, we're going to give them cash. And I was like, all right, what do you think it is? And he's like, and the other person was the head coach, so he knew because he presented it. But it's like, when only a couple of people on your team know the referral program, you don't have a referral program. You have a referral idea, right? It has to be something that your entire team knows and they're trained on. And then I could automatically tell just from his team's reaction that the students and parents didn't know what the referral contest was either. So, or the referral campaign. So you don't have a referral program if no one knows about it, right? Okay, so making sure that you're communicating on different platforms. So we have in-studio communication. What is that? That's announcements at the end of class. That's flyers and posters. That's all that stuff. We have your group or community communication. This might be Facebook. It might be a Slack group. It might be a community you have within your mobile app for your martial arts school. So it can be a number of these things. You have email, you have text message, you have your app, you have your website. When you are communicating to your parents, you got to remember this. Some parents, a small percentage, are going to hear it when you announce it in studio at the end of class. Small percentage. Okay. Most parents in most studios that I visit are looking down at their phone or reading a book or doing something else and not being actively listening to the class. Your Facebook group, you have some parents that love getting the information from the Facebook group. You'll have a whole bunch of parents that never even look at the Facebook group. Email, we know email open rates are like really good at 30%, like really good at 30%, which means if you have 300 members, 90 of them actually saw the email or opened it. It doesn't mean they read it if they opened it. Like, so some people will read the emails, a lot of people won't. Text messages, use sparingly because they get annoying really fast, but usually if I send an important email, I'm sending a text with it that says, hey, make sure you check your inbox. We just sent out an important email about ABC. It instantly boosts open rates. We just did this recently with an email, and when we first sent it, we were asking for a response from our parents. When we first sent the email, we got like 20 responses out of, I don't know, 300 members, right? Then we sent the email again, and then we sent a text message with it, and it went from 30 responses to we got like 120 responses. And a lot of those people that we talked to were like, I didn't even see the first email. So that text message just reminding them to check their inbox helps. Your mobile app, so if you guys have an app that students use that they have to check into and all of that, all of your upcoming announcements and events should be going on there. A tip for you guys is when you're creating like your calendars or whatever for upcoming events and things, do it in a vertical format for a phone screen. That way it's super easy. Otherwise, parents are like zooming in on the screen. Just do it in the dimensions of a phone screen. Makes it way easier for your parents. And then you all have a website, so it should be going on your website, on your blog, doing those updates, right? Okay, so we have all of this. Then you have Slack or whatever you use for internal communications. We use Slack. I love it. All my companies use Slack, so I can just toggle between companies to see the different conversations and questions that people have on my team. But this should be happening as well, because if your inner office communication is not consistent, then it's going to directly affect the service that's being delivered to your members, okay? Going on with this too, Slack is super helpful, because I know there's a lot of new clients when we take them on and find out they're text messaging their team all the time. That gets like really annoying when it's the weekend and you get a text message from your boss. Ask Leah, I probably texted her on the weekend once or twice. But we want to make sure that it's in a format that's not going to invade their privacy when they're not at work, okay? I personally, when I'm not here at work, I don't have any notifications on for Slack because I don't want it bothering me. So if my team doesn't have notifications on when they're at home, that's totally cool. I don't need them to be reading what I'm sending on Slack at 8 p.m. after work hours, right? So some sort of thing besides text messaging, I would also avoid Facebook groups for your employees as well to use as the main source of contact, because it's super easy for them to get distracted when they go in there. Okay, so we have all these varied ways of communication, okay, but we have to be proactive, not reactive. Typically, if you have students and parents that are asking you the same questions over and over again, that's usually a good sign that you're not being proactive with communication about whatever question they're asking. Okay, which is part of the whole reason why we created a new member strategy guide, is because we took all the questions we got constantly and we're like, hey, let's just simplify this and put it all in one booklet for them that we give to them at their first class. All right. So systemizing retention, we have response time for communication. We have the follow-up. We have the overall arc of communication. Okay, and then staying in the same vein of communication, we're going to talk about something that I feel like is almost a roller coaster of consistency for a lot of martial arts schools. And I know we've dealt with it as well, okay, which is member outreach. All right, so what is member outreach? Member outreach is reaching out to your members when they're not in the facility. That's all it is, okay? So in what ways would we actually reach out to members when they're not at the facility? Okay, so we do these things called RGY or quarterly calls. RGY stands for red, green, yellow. Okay, basically what we do is we print out the entire list of students once a quarter. We mark everyone red, green, or yellow. Red is like, they could quit tomorrow, we wouldn't be surprised. Green is, this person would like tattoo our logo on their forehead if we asked them to, because they're such a raving fan. Yellow is, we don't really know what their temperature is. Like, we don't think they're gonna quit, but we also don't see them being raving fans, okay? And then what we do is we split up this entire list, starting with the red, then the yellow, then the green, between our entire team. And we have a script that we use, and we just call and we just check in with them and give them feedback on this call. And then we future pace their training. That's all we're doing, right? So part of member outreach is the RGY quarterly. This one's been around for ages and is still just as effective as it was 10 years ago. Okay, awesome cards, good job cards, whatever you wanna call them. I always think you should get these branded with your logo, obviously in colors, and have something cool and exciting on the back of the postcard that kids are gonna freak out about when they get it. Okay, in the same vein of awesome cards, there's an app called TouchNote, which actually allows you to take a picture in this app of Johnny doing martial arts and then instantly turn that picture into a postcard that you send to Johnny's parents. So they get a postcard in the mail with Johnny doing his martial arts move on it. It's a way to go above and beyond with your customer service and your member outreach. All right, so we have quarterly calls, awesome cards, touch notes. Okay, if we also think about member outreach, we use an app called BombBomb. And I'm probably not spelling that correctly since my team set it up. You can use Loom also, but just sending personalized videos to them. Okay, and if you want to take this to the next level, way better way, you do it as a group or as a whole team. Okay, and then we're going to continue this down in just a second. But we want to make sure these are consistently happening and that we're tracking these so it's not just the A students getting all the love all the time. Because if we think about the B and C students, the ones that aren't as consistent, that aren't as motivated, they need this stuff even more than the A students because they need that consistent reminder for motivation and that we love having them in class and all of those things. Okay, if we continue with member outreach, MIA calls, I'm going to give you guys something that you can learn from one of our failures. We automated this so that we had emails and text messages going out when they had missed class. The problem with the automation is it's usually the same people that miss class all the time. So they'll start going through the automation. The first time they miss class, it'll stop once they come back to class. But then the next time they miss the class, they'd start getting the automation again. It'd be the same messaging. So like, that sounds very like insensitive. So this we do manually now. But guess what? We do. For the very first outreach, when they miss class, we don't just call them. We send them a BombBomb, and it's of our staff. And we're all sitting there, and we're like, Johnny, where have you been? We missed you. All of us, we've all been looking for you. We can't wait to see you back in class. All your friends are asking about you. Please shoot us back a text message. Let us know when we'll get to see you again, because we can't wait to train with you. Simple. And you can take, let's say you have 20 kids that miss class. You and your team are going to sit there and do 20 videos. Pop, 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 pop. Pop them out. But the energy that comes from the group of everyone be like, yeah, like it's just next level. That kid is going to see that and like feel so good. That mom's going to become emotional from seeing this. So this is how we go above and beyond with our member outreach, right? And how we're actually talking to members. All right, we're going to continue on. Besides communication through member outreach, MIA calls, the next thing that we want to think about when it comes to retention is a term I got from Zappos back in the day, which is creating wow moments. Okay, what is a wow moment? A wow moment is when you get your student or parent to physically out loud say wow. My question for you guys, and this is just an introspective question, is how often are your customers saying wow because of the level service? Like physically saying wow, not just thinking it, physically saying wow. So part of this is how do we engineer heartfelt wow moments for all of our students, okay? So if we start this is sort of like how I love to engineer this, okay? So we're gonna say first month, let's do 90 days. And I'm just doing this as an example. Let's do 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, and then I'm gonna show you how to take this to the next level. Okay, and you know, let's do this. Let's do first day, then first month. All right, if you have no engineered wow moments, you're gonna start with this, okay? If you already have this laid out like this and you have wow moments for all of these, awesome. Okay, then next you're gonna be like, all right, let's do 6 months, a year and a half, 2.5 years, 3.5 years. And you're gonna find more wow moments to insert in there that are milestones for these kids that create emotional reactions that make them say wow and just make them love coming back every single day. And then we're also gonna talk about in a second the wow experience, which should be happening daily, but we'll get to that. So first day, how are you wowing them on the very first day? My guess is if you don't have any wow moments, closing percentage probably isn't great for you, okay? So wow moments can be as simple as a board break. It could be the welcome tray. It could be a gift slash something unexpected, which most wow moments are unexpected Okay, that's the whole purpose of going above and beyond. When you go above and beyond with service, it creates an unexpected moment that makes someone say, wow. If you're having trouble thinking of this, a couple good references for you is the book Never Lose a Customer Again by Joey Coleman. He's got a bunch of these ideas in there that help. The other thing I would encourage you to do is study Disney. They are masters of creating magical moments or wow moments. I remember as an adult, we took my, I think Grayson was maybe 2 years old at the time. We took him to Disney World, and it happened to be my birthday while I was there. And we came back to the room one night, and there's like a signed picture from Mickey Mouse saying happy birthday. There's a happy birthday pin that they wanted me to wear at the park so that all the staff could wish me happy birthday. Of course, my wife made me wear the birthday pin out to the parks, but like literally every single person that worked there was saying happy birthday, Adam. Like as I was walking out, forget I'd have it on too. So it started to become unexpected after a while. But what are we doing to signify that? And you know what? Let's put birthdays as a milestone down here. We'll touch on that too. All right, then first month. What are you doing as a wow moment to celebrate their first month? So maybe you're gonna do something where you send a touch note and it's a picture of them at their very first class. And then the messaging is something like, man, can you believe it's already been a month of training? You've already gotten so much better than you started out at your first class. And I can't wait to see where this journey takes you. All I know is that if you keep it up, you're going to be an amazing black belt someday. Okay, so we are sending something that's talking about the transformation between first day and first month, and then future-proofing, okay, future-pacing them for where we see them in the future, okay? 90 days, they should be hitting their first belt, so that can be part of it, but belts after time start to become less and less of a wow moment I tend to see in a lot of martial arts schools, okay? So we'll touch more on this. But maybe for us, what we do is we do a belt and then we drop ship a t-shirt to them. Okay, I think we can come up with a more creative thing than drop shipping a t-shirt, honestly. Although we get great reactions because parents get in the mail and they're like, we did not expect this. Like, we didn't even tell them we're going to do this. But at 90 days, drop ship them a shirt that's whatever saying you want in it that goes with your culture at your school, but should be a shirt they feel proud to wear for completing their first 90 days. Okay, and then you have year one, year two, year three. Okay, so I'm going to show you guys what we're doing for this, what we've been doing, and sort of what we're getting ready to move to, okay? No pun intended there. So originally we did this. We went trophy, trophy, trophy. Okay. And it went like small trophy, cooler trophy, amazing trophy, essentially. So this worked great though, because kids would look forward, and the way our curriculum is structured is at the end of 1 year, they're moving from their year one class to year two class. So like beginner to intermediate for most of you guys. At the end of two years, they're going from the year two class to the year three class. So it's also giving them incentive to keep going, right? And to stick it out to the next class, okay? And then you have your black belt, which obviously you want the black belt test to be a wow moment as well. Then when we're thinking about this, like there should be some communication leading up to each milestone that's hyping up that milestone. So it's giving them something to look forward to. And this communication should also be talking about, hey, what do you get to do in the next class? What do you get to do in the next year of training? Same thing here, same thing here. All right, birthdays. I always think it's the coolest thing ever when a kid actually comes to class to train on his birthday, because that kid could be at home having cake with his parents. It's literally the day where your parents will pretty much let you do whatever you want on your birthday. So when a kid comes to class to come to train on his birthday and he had the choice of doing whatever he wanted, that should be an honor for you. Like that should be like the coolest thing ever. So I like doing a birthday belt, the special belt that they get to wear for their birthday. So they get to wear the belt the whole class. And then at the end of the class, we have them break a board and then all the kids sing happy birthday for them. Okay, I'm gonna come back up here because I forgot to touch on sort of what we're transferring to. So what we're doing next is we're gonna do a year one trophy still, but we're gonna really just make it more experience and cool for them to where at the end of year three, they get a custom championship belt. So it's a move custom championship belt that they get for completing 3 years of training. It costs us about $100. Now, Adam, that's like half of their monthly fee. Yeah, but they've been paying that monthly fee for 3 years. You can afford to celebrate them on what they're doing, right? So usually at the end of year three, they get their level 12 belt, okay? And then they are gonna also get their championship belt. It's not something they wear to class, something they get to proudly display at home, but it is badass. It looks super cool. Our graphic designer crushed it building out this belt, and I've only seen like the sketching of it so far, so the full thing's gonna be awesome. But now we have systemized out these wow moments, and we can definitely go above and beyond even more on this. I was talking to a member of our mastermind, Alan, shout out to Alan. He was telling me one of the things that they do is at the first class, they will take a picture at the beginning, and then they actually have a photo printer where they print it out at the end and then hand it to the family. I thought that was a great wow moment. I think that's such a good idea. And I think that's something that a lot of you guys could incorporate in this as well. And here's the cool thing, guys. Like, if you aren't in a network of other martial arts schools or other fitness owners right now, you have to find a group to start, like, getting in contact with and networking. Whether it's our mastermind or someone else, you need to be around people that are giving you different ideas. The number of amazing ideas for wow moments and just other things that comes from the Relentless CEO Mastermind is phenomenal. There's stuff that I've had shared in the group from one of our members that was like one of those things where I was like, damn, I wish I thought of that. I wish I was the one that came up with that, but that's a good freaking idea. And some of our newest initiatives that we've installed, even at our own school, have been things that have come from ideas in our group. And that's the whole point of being a part of a mastermind, is being able to share that knowledge base with other people that are all focused on the same things as you, making a bigger impact, crushing your goals, growing your business so that you can have more freedom in your life, all of that, okay? So wow moments need to be systemized, okay? And the last thing I'm gonna sort of touch on with this that will help you guys sort of know where to plant those wow moments is tracking your cancellations and what belt they're canceling at, okay? So we have a spreadsheet that we use that these cancellations go in, okay? So it'll be name, belt, reason for canceling, and then we have start date, end date, and then we have another column over here that's total months trained, and it automatically calculates based on the two columns for start and end date, okay? Here's why this is important, okay? You're gonna have these people filling out your cancellation form. It's gonna start to populate all the names and everything. And then you're gonna look at belts and you're gonna see green, yellow, purple, another purple. Okay, and then over here, you'll see the reasons. So you can see, hey, is there a reoccurring reason that we need to address, right? And then start and end dates are gonna show you like average length of stay. So maybe it was 12 months, maybe that person started in your little ninjas class and they moved up and have been training into green and so forth, whatever it is, okay? But this is what we're gonna focus on first. Notice, okay, let's say this is my list. Let's say I have hundreds of people on here, but there's a lot of freaking purples on there, okay? A lot of people quitting that purple belt. What does this tell me? That for some reason, either leading up to purple belt or whatever happens at purple belt is not giving people value. It is not giving them a good enough experience on the mat. Or maybe what I tend to see is, let's say you have beginner, intermediate, and advanced, okay? Most people have like a 90-day onboarding system for when they join beginner, right? So there's all this awesome automated communication going out, perfect. And then crickets the rest of the time, which means by the time they get the intermediate class, they don't feel special anymore because no one's making them feel special, okay? All the check-ins and all that stuff disappeared over time. All right, so if this is happening, it might be a communication issue if there's no communication. It also could be that, hey, maybe we need to put something at the belt before purple belt. So let's just say blue belt is before purple belt. Okay, maybe I have to put something different at blue belt to get people over the hump to get to purple belt and beyond. Maybe I need to look at the curriculum that most people are doing when they're quitting at this level. And maybe there's something with the curriculum that people just don't like. One of the big questions I get a lot from our industry, from the martial arts industry, is, hey, I have a lot of people quitting when it comes time to spar. How do we prepare them for that? So maybe it's you're not doing a great enough job pre-framing them for sparring. So when it's time to get their gear and spar, they're just afraid. They're intimidated to do it. It's interesting. We used to actually run into that problem pretty often back in Chicago, where people would get to the sparring part and they wouldn't want to spar. And then as I've sort of evolved the business and the curriculum, I think the reason for that is because we didn't really prepare them to spar. We just put sparring gear on them and had them spar after they learned some punches and kicks. And that's probably the reason why when we watch a lot of sparring in our industry, there's a lot of people just beating up the air. They're like kicking and punching in the air. They're not having the right distancing, timing, all that stuff. And it's because we're teaching them traditional poo, and then we're like, all right, now go spar. And sparring is a totally different style, totally different animal, if we want it to be realistic. And they're not good at it either when they start because they've never done it before. So now all of a sudden we're putting all these kids in gear. We're having punches and kicks fly at them with a completely different skill set that they're not used to. And then we're like, why are they afraid to spar? It would be like this, guys, if you put your kid in football, right? And let's say like the whole practice is they don't have pads on, they're not tackling each other, and they're pretty much just playing catch at practice. And then all of a sudden it's time for the game Sunday, so we're going to put all the kids in pads and we're going to throw them out in the field and they're all going to get tackled for the first time. How many of those kids do you think are going to want to come back and keep playing football? Like, because the first time they ever got hit was in that game. There was no preparation for it. There was nothing taught on, like, best practices to avoid getting hit. It was just like, hey, put this gear on, get on the field, and go make us proud. That's what so many of us are doing with sparring. And then we're wondering why no one wants to spar or why people quit when it gets to the sparring part. All right, that rant is over. But use this information to start looking at your systems for creating wild moments and say, hey, do we need to put this earlier? Do we need to change something here? What is happening at this point that's causing people to quit more than at any other point in their training, right? And it could be communication, could be curriculum, could be classes. There's different reasons for why it could be, but we don't even know that it's an issue until we start tracking it, right? So this is something that you should be tracking within a spreadsheet, CRM, whatever, so that way you can act on that data and fix those holes in the system. Okay, last thing I'm gonna cover, okay, is member engagement challenges. And I don't mean bad things. I mean like challenges that you give them to be more engaged. Okay, so these are initiatives that we do at our school. We teach this to our mastermind clients as well. Okay. If we think about going through the general length of a year, okay, so January through December, right? Let's just at a high level look at this and be like, all right, when do people tend to cancel the most? So looking at your numbers, it's like, when is my attrition the highest or when is my retention the lowest? Same question, right? So let's say I'm going through my months and January we had 4% attrition. Okay. If you guys don't know what attrition is, that's the percentage of students that cancel. Okay. Ideally, 4% is great. Okay. 5%, good. Anything above 5, I would be a little worried. Okay. Unless you're just kicking so much butt with enrollments, which isn't going to happen forever. But just something to keep in mind. And let's say February, 5%. Let's say March was like 4.25. April, we're at 5. May, 8%. These are arbitrary numbers, by the way. And then June, let's say, was like 5. July, 5. August, fat 9%. Boo. Then we have September sort of drops back down. October, November, maybe it starts to creep, and then December, we're at 7% again. All right, so again, these are arbitrary numbers, but what I'm looking for is, as we're tracking its attrition, is where are the outliers happening so I can strategically plan for these things. So if we just sort of circle the main outliers, we have an 8%, We have a 9%. We have a 7%. Six is getting pretty close. I'm going to keep an eye on that. Okay, so we are these three times of the year in this model when we're seeing a higher rate of cancellation. What most people do is they're like, oh, okay, if it's happening in May, I need to put something in May so that way we don't have as many cancellations. Wrong, okay? What you need to do is put something in April, July, and November. You need to have a member engagement contest or challenge the months before those high drop-off months. Because if they increase the buy-in the month before, they're less likely to quit the month after, because that momentum from this month continues. So typically, some things that we do is we do what we call a bingo battle in April. Here's what this is. It is a bingo card that every athlete gets, or every student gets, and there's different challenges on this bingo card for them. And their goal is to fill a row down, across, or on an angle, and they get points / raffle tickets for completing this. So we do all digital. I say raffle tickets because I'm old, but we do like all digital entries now. So we just record everything digitally. Okay, but let's say they're doing the bingo battle. What they're doing in this is besides like challenges of practicing martial arts, they're also cleaning the room without being told. They're helping a family member with a chore without being asked to do it. They are practicing at home for a certain amount of period. They are reading a book on something new that they want to learn. Whatever challenges you want, but what's happening is during this time, mom and dad are seeing their child be way more invested in their martial arts training, way more engaged in the martial arts training. So when it comes time to plan for summer of, hey, what are we doing? Martial arts does not become an option of let's cancel, okay? Then you also have August down here. That means in July we need something. So what we do is we do the bingo battle in April. Then when summer starts, we have our summer showdown challenge, okay, which this is a all summer long attendance contest. Now, anytime you do these types of contests and you have prizes, you want those bad boys displayed like big and bright. I've seen schools for their summer showdown that get like, they get an inflatable pool, they fill it with balls, they put like a lawn chair there, and they have all this awesome signage to promote these initiatives. And it just makes a bigger impact because kids come in, they see it, they get excited. They might see that, like when we did our summer showdown, we brought that Daily Bugle Lego set, like that's like, I don't know, 800 pieces or something. And we had that displayed along with all these smaller prizes, and kids would come in and they'd be like, I'm winning that one, or I'm winning that one. We've done Nintendo Switches, we've done electrical scooters, we've done like a weekend vacation at like Great Wolf Lodge. So there's a whole bunch of different things you can do for giveaways. But essentially what we're doing is the entire summer, we are sending out emails and texts reminding them constantly that this challenge is going on, talking about the prizes and stuff that they can get. And the craziest thing that ever happened that I never had heard in my life in the martial arts industry before this, the first time we ran the summer showdown challenge, I had parents coming up to our staff and saying, we're getting ready to go on vacation. Johnny doesn't want to go on vacation because he thinks he's going to lose the summer showdown challenge for missing class for a week. And it's like, yes, finally kids want to pick martial arts over something else. Because historically, just talking about my life in the martial arts industry, that never happened. Like martial arts was sort of like the extra thing all the time. Now it's becoming the main thing, and that's what we want. So we do a summer showdown challenge going down here, and then December, which I'm sure we can come up with a better idea than what we're doing. We do a different type of attendance challenge. We call it the Holiday Class Dash. Okay, in the Holiday Class Dash, we use two-pronged. One, to bring in new trials to the studio, which is a whole system for it, which I'm not covering in this video. And then also we do it as an attendance contest for the people that are there. So that way we're rewarding them for still being committed to their training during the holiday season. Okay, and these member engagement challenges, here's what happened for us. We had I'm a little embarrassed to say it, not really though, because it's fact. We had a 10% attrition month in May 1 year, which is the whole reason I created this bingo battle thing. Because I was like, that is unacceptable. And there was other things that led to it. We didn't have the right coach in and other stuff as well. But the next year we dropped to 2% in that same month. We went from 10% to 2% attrition for that month. And the difference besides the bingo battle that we added was those red, green, yellow quarterly calls that we do. Okay, so we also did that in the same month, and both of those combined lowered our attrition by 8%, which is ridiculous. redunculus, whatever you want to call it. But I'm hoping that just from sort of doing this thinking out loud on a whiteboard and showing you some of the things that we're doing, it's giving you guys some ideas and just some maybe motivation and inspiration to up what you're doing on a retention-based level for your student base. And that's really what it's about, right? We want to give you as many tools as possible that you can take and just run with and implement in your school so that way you can kick butt. Now, if you're like, Adam, guess what? This sounds like a whole bunch of work and I don't have the time to do this with everything else I have going on in my school. I get it. I'm busy being an entrepreneur. So if that's you, then I'm going to encourage you to do this and go to martialartsystems.com. We have all of this done for you at martialartsystems.com. It gives you a whole course for every business system. And I'm not trying to do this as a pitch, even though I'm doing it as a pitch. It gives you every business system you need to run your martial arts school successfully. It's all based on the systems we use in our own schools. And there's video training to go with everything. It is like the complete deal. You can customize all the systems to your liking. And all of those member engagement initiatives, all the scripts I talked about, all in there. So martialartssystems.com. If you have any questions, just feel free to shoot me a message on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you're paying attention to us. Guys, I hope you got a lot from this episode. I want to thank you guys for taking the time to sit here and learn this. It shows that you care about your business. It shows that you care about making a bigger impact with the families that are already at your school. And in martial arts, it's all about serving our clients, serving our customers, serving our families, and finding ways to systemize that and create consistency with that servitude. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Remember to continue to follow, like if you haven't already. If you got value from this and you know there's another school owner or fitness studio owner that could get a lot of value from this as well, please share it with them. Send it to them so that way they can level up their business just like you. See you in the next episode.
We're unstoppable. To the top, we about to go. That CEO, I need to know the impact we about to grow. Competition comical. Straight A1, we on the road. Money focused for the goal. Tell them what they need to know.
Yeah, we unstoppable.